Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
40 minutes past hour, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV for Sunday, of course. Coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. So we take it from the City by the Bay to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rain from Boxing's Goodwill Ambassador of the UK. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I woke up this morning.
Okay, that's good. So tell me, man, what's happening with Anthony Joshua? Have people totally lost faith with him, or are there really some still believers in the UK?
There's some believers, Pedro, but, you know, the longer he's out the limelight, the sooner people will just forget about him. You know, there's so much happening at the minute where, you know, he needs to get back in on track. He needs to get back in there and win his titles back or fight someone of note.
You know, you call him a poor man's Frank Bruno. He's really the rich man, but he's really the rich man's point, Frank Bruno, because he made a whole lot more money than Frank ever did.
Made more money than anyone. I think he's been very well managed. He's been very well protected. And even with all that protection, he's picked up two losses.
Yeah, because you know what? You can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit.
Yep, correct. Yeah. That's exactly it. And, you know, there's so many fighters out there that for me would beat him. Obviously, Tyson Fury, hands down. Deontay Wilder would knock him out for me. You know, it's... He's nowhere near and never has been the number one.
Okay. Boxing in the UK. I mean, I'm watching all these fights from around the country. The UK has got fights as far as DAZN's concerned. What's happening with the Sky Sports thing and Frank Warren? What's he doing with his fighters? Does he have to go to Barry Hearn, DAZN? What's going on with that?
No. But Frank Warren has a real good setup with BT Sport, which is equally as big as Sky over here.
All right.
BT Sport pick up all Frank Warren shows. Frank is doing well with them. He has no intention of looking at Sky. Sky Sports are, as you say, they've become HBO. Once they were there, now they're not. They're picking up bits and bats of fights here and there, but nothing really exciting, you know?
Mm. Hey, Frank, does Frank Warren talk to Terry Marsh?
No.
Okay, inside joke there, folks. The inside joke was that Frank Warren was shot by a masked assassin who was thought to be Terry Marsh. I told you what Terry told me when I asked him if he did it, right?
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, he winked his eye, said, why would I do something like that? Winking his eye. Anyway, bottom line is. And, of course, Frank Warren was also the guy that got knocked out in one round by Mike Tyson. And was it in Scotland?
Manchester,
one round KO victim. So I guess you know Frank's got a bit of a resume. But can he get Barry Hearn to run for his money?
Definitely. Frank Warren's always been there. You know, he's come back with Tyson Fury. You know, he's got other fighters. On the horizon. There's definitely work out there for Frank. Big time. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, DAZN carried the Chisora Parker fight last night. I don't know if you caught it or not. For me, Parker came in 10 pounds heavier, and he was putting short bursts on, and he didn't have the gas to finish Chisora off. So for me, although he looked okay, them 10 pounds hurt him last night.
That's what I thought. 251 pounds. I don't think guys should be wearing. He's just not that big of a guy as far as putting on that kind of weight. And he looked a little loose around the waist. Now Oleg Usyk, the underdog, of course, he's southpaw coming to us from the Ukraine, training now in Oxnard, California, I believe. Is that what it says? Oxnard, California. Anyway, it's 19-0, former cruiserweight champion. Can he beat Tyson Fury?
No.
Why?
He's just not big enough. Tyson's got that huge height, that huge reach. When Usyk comes inside of him, he'll tie him up. Tyson's just too awkward for him. And, you know, I just can't see Usyk. I can see Usyk beating a lot of guys, but I just can't see him beating Tyson Fury.
But he
just can't see it.
But as a heavyweight, he sort of looks like Pernell Whitaker. He's got better moves than me. I mean, he's got some killer moves. He can faint with his head. He can faint with his hands. He can faint with his feet. Not too many heavyweights can do that, let alone fighters.
No, I agree with you. And he's one of the few fighters that's in shape. You know, he always comes in shape. You know, I like him around, you know, around 210 or a bit less.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just can't see him quite having the tools to beat a man like Fury, who's 6'9" and every bit of it. Awkward as you like, sometimes horrible, but he's effective.
Sometimes horrible. We're talking with Sir Kenneth Rainford, of course, our boxing ambassador of goodwill, telling us from the UK. What's happening with Josh Taylor?
Well, he's lining up. He's lining up all kinds of fights at the moment. I'm a great believer in only taking one fight at a time. But he was in the press the other day announcing, you know, that he's putting together a calendar of fights. Real good fighter, but I'm a fan and believing in don't look past your next opponent.
No, you never look past your. There's always a finals or the championship fight at the end of a tournament, right? But if you can't look past some guy in the semifinals, you're not getting to the finals.
Yeah, well, our good friend failed twice at that. Right. Big Larry Holmes, when he fought Mike Weaver and Ronaldo Snipes.
You know, I asked him who hit the hardest, and I told you what he told me, that your buddy Ernie Shavers hit the hardest. He said that Ernie Shavers was the only guy that you can see the punch coming and still get knocked down. Because I don't know about you, Kenny, but every time I don't want to brag about this, but the few times that I was knocked down in my life, okay, I was always knocked down with hooks. I mean, anything you throw at me, I can absorb from the front. Is that sort of the same with a lot of guys?
Yeah. Well, they always say, a good trainer always tell you, the punch that gets you out is the one you don't see.
Good point. Are you surprised that Bob Arum is still rocking and rolling and pushing things as hard as he is at 90 years old? I mean, in the UK...
You got to love Bob Arum. You got to love him. He won't give in. He won't roll over. He's staying there to the bitter end. You know, he like him or hate him, he's put on... Him and Don King, for me, are the two greatest promoters evermore. But, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like either one for either reason. But for me... You know, they've given us such great fights, you know, Hagler, Hands, neither say more, you know.
In 89, you know, 89 or 90, I can't remember what year it was, we were sitting together in Las Vegas, and he said to me, "Hey, Fernandez, you do coke?" And I go, "No." He goes, "That's good." He goes, "You a big drinker?" I said, "No." He goes, "I didn't think so, because I tell you, if you want to drink and you want to do coke, look at these guys here. They're got one step on. Whoa. So basically, Bob Arum was calling him out there. So I'll never forget what he ended this story. He ended that little quip with, "If you stick to the weed, kid, you'll be okay." And Bob Arum is still smoking weed at the age of 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's smoking a lot of weed, Kenny. He smokes. Of course, it's legal now in Nevada and most of the United States. Now back to the UK boxing scene. Tyson Fury is going to take on Dillian White. Is this going to happen? Is it set in stone?
Barry Hearn keeps telling everyone when Dillian White knocks out Tyson Fury. When is he trying to sell something that is definitely going to happen, or is he trying to sell something that he's going to accuse Tyson Fury for sidestepping to take, you know, someone else on? I don't know. I'd like to think it will happen. My main worry with Tyson Fury at the moment is that he can get motivated for a race of a Dillian White and a Joseph Parker and people like this, you know, because, you know, when you've got the life that he's got now, he's flying all over the place. He's just come back from Florida from doing a business tour. As you know, he called in on Bob Arum and wished him a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worries me when I see fighters doing these kind of things, because camp is where you spend your entire boxing career. When you're not in camp, you're at home with your wife and kids. But when I see fighters running around, don't get me wrong, you know, it's a great thing to be able to do.
No. Let me cut you off. Riddick Bowe. I mean, remember they had him going all over the world meeting the Pope, and then he threw his WBC title belt in the trash can in London and things like that. But Riddick Bowe, I can't remember his manager's name, but yeah, they had him thinking all kinds of stuff, and he was the next Ali, and look what happened to him. He just fell apart.
Correct. And this is what worries me about Tyson. You know, he's such a nice guy. He's very approachable, and he'll do anyone a favor. He'll, you know, he's that kind of thing. He needs to get back now after Christmas, focus on getting back in his camps and his training, and stay in the one place and get ready for these fights, no matter how big or small they are.
The former voice of HBO boxing, and I'll talk about Harold Letterman, Jim Lapley, said that he thought Tyson Fury was a big fat slob.
Yeah. He looks like that's the reality of it is. He's just got bad genetics. The whole family are sort of built like that. You know, they carry a lot of midsection weight. And listen, you know, let's not paint a bad picture here. The picture is Tyson Fury likes a drink. He likes to drink big time.
You know, I had the impression he had a few drinks the other night when he was wearing that 1969 Summer of Love jacket.
Yeah, he loves a drink. You know, he's been on tour in the country over here doing a meet the fans UK tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not slagging him off. I'm saying it the way it is. You know, he's probably drunk on half of them.
Okay.
You know, he likes to drink and he likes food. So he's never going to be a Mike Weaver. He's never going to be, you know, a Ken Norton. He's never going to be anything like that. He's a very gifted fighter in the sense he has a good engine. He has good stamina. And he's got a good boxing brain.
And he's big. Oh,
and he's massive. He's not big. He's massive.
Okay. Sergey Kovalev is saying that that Canelo is better than Andre Ward. Of course, Andre Ward, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, retired undefeated after winning a title at 168-175. Kovalev fought both these guys. Ward was thinking about a comeback, and I think he was working in the Caleb Plant camp there, training with him. And I think after Plant got dispatched by Canelo Alvarez, he sort of put that comeback wish. Yeah, he ain't coming back, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, talking to Canelo, Canelo is pound for pound the best out there at the moment. But if he's going to talk about bouncing around the weights, let's see him fight Beterbiev, you know?
No.
That would be one hell of a fight.
No, you hear me saying no. I'm not saying no from my perspective. I'm saying no from the Canelo perspective. I mean, that's the guy. Listen, I thought about this. Kenny, when I look at guys on TV, I don't know if you do this, but I look at him and I see, how can I beat this guy? How can I beat him? Can I beat him with moves? Can I beat him with speed? Do I have to use power? And I don't know how you beat Beterbiev. He's 17-0 with 17 knockouts. He isn't Muhammad Ali. He isn't Ernie Shavers, but he's something in between.
Yeah. He's a workhorse. He's a machine. He's durable. He's nonstop. You know, that is a bad fight for Canelo to take, but a great fight for us because we get to see, you know, maybe another version, albeit a longer version of Aglaé Hearns, maybe.
Oh, you know, I was there April 15, 1985, in the outdoor arena at Caesars Palace. I don't think anything will ever be quite like that. It was like mass hysteria. Kenny Rainford, Sir Kenneth Rainford, how's your daughter doing?
She's doing great, doing great. She's doing fine. And you talk about watching a fighter and how to beat him. I had Jake Paul beaten within 2 seconds.
Okay, well, that's the subject for another day. All the best. Kiss the kid. We'll talk soon.
Take it easy, buddy.
The great Sir Kenneth Rainford from the UK, our boxing ambassador from the United Kingdom. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.